Hey, greetings everybody, this is Brother Tupos, DontPerish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, want to bring you a little interesting point of view and teaching topic today. I'm calling this one, Sinking into Sunday False Faith. Sinking into Sunday False Faith. Yeah, for this teaching, I want you to think about something. Think about a person that's out in the ocean and they have a fake, faulty life preserver with them. And then I want you to think about someone that's out in the ocean, but they have like 10 real life preservers with them. Think about those two different situations, and we'll get back to that. I want to share with you an important observation that's going to be related to that, that I've made over the years I've been doing street ministry, and it has to do with people who claim Christ and yet cling to a churchianity, Sunday system, man-made doctrines, versus people who claim Christ, but they are committed to truth and not a church system and man-made ways. Two different people here. Churchianity people, set on traditions, a person claiming Christ, but they don't have that churchianity system. And they're set on the kingdom of God. We're going to talk about these two different types of people and what I've noticed. Colossians 2:10. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So we're complete in Christ. We need to seek the truth of Christ. We need to be walking in the things of Christ. Christ is the truth. We're complete in the truth. People that don't have that and aren't seeking that, they're not complete in Christ. And so this is what I've noticed as I've done street ministry. It's just kind of hit me today, and I'll tell you about a witnessing experience we had. People who are born into or they have joined and they're fully invested every week in the churchianity system. Mostly it's the Sunday churchgoers. It could be some Saturday goers, but it's mostly Sunday goers. And they are the ones that are most often, these are all generalizations here, closed-minded, rigid, narrow-minded, and unwilling to be hearing about any corrections or new doctrines they need or errors they may be keeping to call them to come to God's full truth. They don't want to hear it. They're not seeking truth. They're not complete in Christ. They're not desiring more. They're closed-minded. They have what they want. Let me explain to you. We just had a witnessing experience today. Older couple, ready? We're in a marketplace. They see my walking stick. It says Obey Jesus on it. And they were all excited to come and talk about obeying Jesus, right? So we said hi. We gave them a gospel card. And I started going over the gospel with them. And this only took about a minute and a half, and everything seemed okay. We were talking, thought we might talk for a while, and after I went over the gospel, and they said, oh yeah, we got that, you know, I could tell right away, they're going, we got it, and they were very worldly looking people, we got it, and I said, can I ask what faith you're of? I always like to ask that, and they said, oh, we're Pentecostals, and all I said was, can I offer to you that have you tested it? The Pentecostal faith keeps a lot of false man-made traditions that if we're of Christ, we have to repent of those and walk in spirit and truth. And literally, it was like you threw a bucket of water on them and they said, oh, really? We got to get going. Bam, out the door. That fast. I have an audio of it. I just put it up and you could listen to it. Witnessing to a Pentecostal couple. And that was it. They have their Jesus. They're Pentecostal Jesus, and they don't want nothing else. They don't want any part of anything that would change their ways about who Christ is or take them any deeper or modify what they're doing. That man said to me, I've been a Pentecostal for many years, he said. They have a corrupt truth that can't save them because truth is part of salvation. You don't believe that? Jesus said in John 14:6, he's the way, the truth, and the life. We are sanctified by truth. John 17:17, the word is truth. And doctrine saves. 1 Timothy 4:16. Truth is part of salvation because it's the evidence that we are even of Christ, the master of truth. He is truth, right? But on the flip side, people who don't attend churchianity systems and they consider themselves born of Christ and they're built on Christ and God's word and truth, the rock, not the sand of denominational religion. My experience, not across the board, generalization here, they are more open to sit and hear and talk about truth and maybe repent and strive towards sound doctrine and holiness than the people that are being fed denominationalism every week. Yeah, and this is the main reason that we hate churchianity systems. Why? We don't hate the people. We hate their systems. Psalm 119:104, I hate every false way. It's a fake pacifier. It's a fake flotation device. Remember that. We'll get back to that. And it's a weight that will eventually drown them. They'll go down with it. Why is this? Why are these two different people that acclaim Jesus so different? One's a churchianity goer claiming Jesus, set in their ways. They don't want to hear any more truth. Another one claims Jesus. They have the fruit of the Spirit, and they go, I'm hungry. I want all truth. I'll modify anything for my Savior. Well, churchianity, folks, man-made traditions, and you can go look up our 10-point test. You can go look up, I have a tab called Why the Denominations Are Lying to You. It lists all the things they lie about, pagan holidays, worldliness, false gospels, building-centered system, taking the money, the modern pastor role, all this stuff. But go back to the life preserver. They have a fake life preserver. They mostly are holding on to, as their preserver, a weekly ritual church service. And twice a year, they have the big pagan holidays, Christmas and Easter. That's the big deal for them. And that's the bulk of their faith life. That's it. They're not really involved in ministry. All they may do with the food pantry or something. But most of them keep a Sunday ritual. The pastor pretty much does, and the elders, deacons, they do all the religious stuff all the time. I just go to church, and I got Sunday where I hang out, and then I live the way I want the rest of the time, like the culture, in the world, pride and vanity, hobbies, politics, sports, entertainment. They're cultural Christians. They're not biblical Christians. They do ritual dead religion, live like the world, and they're not pursuing the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. That's the churchianity, folks. They got what they want. I don't need no more. I don't want to hear it. Don't ruin my little itchy-eared world I got. But true saints that are truly born of God are seeking, testing, looking for all truth. What? They're looking because the Spirit's leading them to be growing up and to be perfected in Christ. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Yes, see, we have something to do. The Holy Spirit helps us. Christ is helping us. He's our intercessor. But we have something to do, don't we? We are to be walking in holiness, cleansing ourselves, striving for perfection, and we are to be clinging to the true life preserver, Jesus Christ, and his word, and the Spirit, and the doctrines, whereas churchianity people are clinging to a false placebo device that isn't going to save them. They're going to go down. They're going to sink with it. And the point I'm trying to make is, if you give those people truth that they lack, what you're doing is you're taking away the denominational customs and traditions like a security blanket, and you're telling them what they lack. They usually get angry, or they just get numb and just walk away. They don't want to talk to you no more. They're insecure because they got nothing else. Think about this. They got nothing else that they're really holding on to. Not the true rock of Christ, not the true word of God, not the Spirit of God. Because in order, ready? I went through this. In order to come out of all those false ways, guess what me and Sister Amin had to do? We had to humble ourselves. God helped us by the Spirit. We had to admit we were wrong about the pagan holidays. We had to admit we were wrong about wedding rings. We had to admit we were wrong about worldliness. We had to admit we were wrong about the church services. We had to swallow a whole bunch of humble pie and repent and admit our error and rebuild our entire life on the rock of Christ and sweep away all that denominational sand we once lived on. Most will not go there. They like their sand. It feels good to them. It feels good between their toes. But when the storms come, they're going to be washed away. And that's what I'm trying to get at. And they have what they want already. They have itchy ear doctrines, easy faith that pleases them. And guess what? They live in hypocrisy. Why? They claim Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus so much. But Jesus says, why do you say you love me, but you don't keep my commands in the book of John 14? Yeah, Jesus said this too, Matthew 6, 16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Yeah, you know, that's like people that say, I go to church every Sunday. They have their reward already. I give 10% to my church. They have their reward already. That's what Jesus is saying here. Yet those people who are not built on man-made traditions, but fully on Christ, seeking him in spirit and truth, again, they're more apt, not always, but more apt, more willing to listen, to seek, to adjust, to correct for truth. Why? Because they know that Christ is their rock and everything hinges off of him. And they're being led. This is key. They're being led by the Spirit, Romans 8:1, and they're not under condemnation because they're led by the Spirit. They're not set on the flesh and not being led by man-made doctrines and traditions that deceive. So remember this. I hope this is going to drive this home here. This is a real test of who is born of God by his Spirit and the gospel. Christ shed blood, death, burial, and resurrection for the cleansing of our sins and defeating death. Repentance, this is what we're talking about here, repenting of all your ways, and then being born again when God sees someone who will obey, Acts 5, and walking in holiness and obedience, that's the sanctification process, and enduring in the faith. This is a real test. Who's born of that gospel versus who just goes to church on Sunday and keeps what grandma and grandpa and great-grandpa have always kept their whole life? His sheep don't do that. His sheep hear his voice. Ready? John 10, 25 through 27. Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not because ye are not my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. So I have a question. I asked these people this today. If you're claiming to be sheep of God, Jesus Christ, why are you following man-made religion? They had no answer. I asked the Catholic people when we stood out at a Catholic church yesterday, how can you say you're following Jesus while you keep all these Catholic doctrines that Jesus never ordained? They had no answer for that. So you're not following and you're not born of Jesus if you're following a bunch of man-made doctrines, but the fruit you are his is that you're hearing his voice and following the truth via the Spirit. I can see it. It's painful. I see it in their eyes when I have to tell somebody that their newfound faith or their family-long faith, like my wife, Sister Amen, she had a life full of Lutherans. Someone once told her that your grandmother would roll over in her grave if they knew you left the Lutheran faith because her grandmother and I think her great-grandmother, they were all Lutherans. Yeah, I see it. It crushes people. And it angers them sometimes. But you know what? I got to do it because I love them. Galatians 4:16. Have I become your enemy because I've told you the truth? One of my favorite verses. Remember where I started this teaching talking about life preservers? Let me give you an example. Remember that life preserver we talked about? It's like a man who's lost at sea and he has one fake life preserver with him, holding him afloat for right now. He's holding on to that thing like life itself. It's all he's got. Maybe it was handed down to him from his dad. He's not holding on to nothing else but that. And it's going to get waterlogged, break apart, and he's going to go down and perish with it. Because it's all he has, all he knows, and it's all he will cling to. But if you take a man who has 10 real life preservers, and you happen to tell him, hey, one of those is fake. It looks damaged. It's bad or whatever. He's more easily going to let one of them go because he still has 8 or 9 of them. He knows he's rock solid and he knows he can rely on them. That this is the same illustration of these churchianity folks versus true born-again saints clinging to truth. If you're clinging to the Sunday church systems and the easy-believe gospels and the cultural life practices, pride and vanity, sports, politics, entertainment, living your life for yourself, pagan holidays, if I didn't mention it, it's all you got. That's it. You're a fake Christian. You're a cultural Christian. You got a fake float, and you're going to go down with that thinking it's going to save you, but you're going to perish. Colossians 2:8. Remember I read Colossians 2:10? Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Vain, useless. That churchianity life vest is useless. After the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. What is after Christ? Truth. If you're not walking in all truth, you're not really after all of Christ. And right after that verse, Paul says in Colossians 2:9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We need all the fullness of Christ. We need all of his doctrine, all of his truth. And then I read Colossians 2:10, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. How are you complete in Christ? Are we in Christ while we keep false doctrines? Actually, Mark 7, Matthew 15, Jesus said, if you keep false traditions, you worship me in vain. You're not in Christ if you keep false traditions. Jesus himself said so. So the true goal of a true saint born of God's Spirit is to grow in sanctification. I've got an article on that at the teaching blog at Don't Perish. And to be holy and to be complete in him. I just did a teaching not long ago about being perfect in Christ. Perfect means to be complete, fully mature. But for churchianity folks, it's the only thing they got that they're floating out their faith on. The Sunday ritual system, Christmas and Easter, easy believism. My dad was a deacon. My grandpa was a pastor. They built their entire faith and hope and identity on a corrupt, man-made system. Name the denomination and I'll tell you why it's corrupt and why it's man-made. I'm a Pentecostal, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Lutheran. So was my dad, so was my grandpa, so was my uncle. I will be one. I had an Anabaptist Amish man just about a month ago tell me, as we witnessed to him when he was selling flowers with his kids. He said, yeah, we keep a bunch of false traditions. He admitted it. And I said, can you follow Christ and do that? He said, well, I don't know. I guess I got to think about that. I gave him all the verses that showed him he can't. And you know what he told me? He said, well, I'm going to honor my parents. My parents were Amish, so were my grandparents. I'm going to die an Amish guy. He's holding on to his life jacket, which is faulty, and he's going to go down with it. Versus being a blood-bought Berean. What did they do? They tested for truth. They grabbed onto the real lifesaver, Jesus Christ, his truth, his word, his sound doctrine. Acts 17:11. And they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Ready? I just did a teaching on this too. One of my favorite new words, Greek word, prothumia. They had prothumia, readiness of mind. These people, you hear it when you watch my preaching videos or my witnessing audios. You can tell, can't you, who's got prothumia and who doesn't. Oh, there's people that shut the door on truth so fast. They have no prothumia. They have no readiness of mind. The Spirit of God is not at work in them. And if they are born of God, I highly doubt it. They're totally in rebellion, not listening to the word of the Spirit. So consider that prothumia. Go listen to that teaching I have at the teaching blog. That's a big difference between the churchianity worldly goats and the true ecclesia sheep of God, the holy ones. Last thought for you on this topic. Ponder this as you witness. This has helped me. It took me a long time to get this. But experience does teach you. It's going to help you see when you witness who has prothumia, who's holding on to a faulty life jacket versus someone that has a whole bunch of God's healthy life jackets, truth and doctrine and the rock solid word of God. Do they need the gospel and the call to repentance and new life? Or do they have the evidence of a readiness of mind and they're already walking in sanctification and they want more truth, they want more doctrine, they want to grow, Well, those people don't necessarily need to be told the gospel. They might already know it. They're already born again. They go, teach me. Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, go preach the gospel in Mark 16. Then he says in Matthew 28:20, go make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. Do you know what a true disciple of Jesus is? A disciple is a student of and one who follows. It's somebody that wants to know all the doctrines and walk in them. And I can testify to this. And this is not because we're great, Sister Amin and I. It's because God's Spirit worked in us and we listened by our will. The first year, we wanted to know as much truth as we could and never stopped. We're still learning all the time. And within the first year, we knew 95% of the doctrines we hold to today. Yep. Had to adjust a few things along the way. It's not because we're smart and perfect and good. It's because the Holy Spirit teaches you all things, John 16. And we listened. And we rejected man-made religion. But these people that are of churchianity, they don't want to reject man-made religion. They're going to make mama mad. They're going to make their friends mad. Oh, my boss and I go to the same church. People pleasers. Partiality. It's not going to go well on judgment day. So remember that. When you're witnessing and someone claims Jesus, but they don't want to hear any more truth or test what they believe, there's a good chance they're not born of God. They're just a false convert. You need to hammer the gospel on them and say the fruit that you're of God is that you follow his word and doctrines. You're outside of that. Maybe you need to go test yourself. Paul says in Corinthians, test yourself to see whether you are a reprobate. Yeah, we need to test to see that. We need to warn people about that. So it's a good measure, good measuring stick for ourselves first. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord. And for me and for my house and for the saints I know. And then going beyond that, going into the world when we preach. Somebody says, I know Jesus, but they don't want to open the Bible and test for greater doctrine, more truth, challenge everything they believe. And they just go, no, I got it. I'm good. This is what we hear all the time. Oh, I got Jesus. I'm good. Yeah, I'm going to heaven. No, I don't need to talk about it. Hey, sir, what's the gospel? I don't have time. Hey, we love you. Do you want to talk about it? I got to go. As they're at a worldly event entertaining themselves, they have no time to talk about Jesus Christ. So use this churchianity and churchianity taking you down, drowning you, versus people that are truly seeking the truth of God that floats them. Christ is our biblical flotation device spiritually versus the churchianity world that is like a millstone that's going to take you down and drown you. Because when you cling to false dead doctrines and it's all you have, you're not going to reach for more truth. Let me say that again. When you're clinging to false dead doctrines of man, and it's all you have and it's all you want, you're not going to reach for more truth. How are you going to grow? How are you going to become complete in Christ? How are you going to become sanctified? Knowledge, lack of it, destroys people, the Bible says. If you don't want to expand your knowledge of Scripture, doctrine, and holiness, you're going to be destroyed. But when you have the Spirit of God via the gospel, and you desire all truth, and you're always looking to test, to be ready to grab more truth, to rise up, to you're willing, you're meek, you're humble, to say, I got it wrong, I got to get it right. I tell people all the time, they say, wow, you preach like you know the truth. I believe I know the truth. But I challenge anyone, email me, men, and show me what I've got wrong in doctrine. Show me in the scriptures. And if you prove it to me, I will publicly repent and say I've had it wrong. I have no problem. Anyone who knows me knows I've already done that. I was an evangelical and I had to repent of all of that. Now I am constantly teaching, preaching against it. We have done a 180-degree turn out of worldliness and out of churchianity. Hey, that sounds like repentance. Yeah, faith and works go together. So use this as a test. I'm going on here about who says they're born again with lip service, but they lack desiring prothumia, or they don't have prothumia, readiness of mind. They don't want to test all truth. If they won't leave Christmas and Easter for Jesus Christ, they're lost and not of God. They're false converts. And then you'll meet somebody that says they want Christ, and says they know Christ. And I always tell people, prove it. Walk in his truth. Come, be a disciple. Then they can prove it. Then they can step up. It's like a man saying, I want to have a wife and get married. Prove it. Find a godly woman and marry her, be faithful to her. Oh, that'll really change the deal right there. He's either telling the truth or he's lying. Kind of like people tell me all the time in the street, right? I meet Christians all the time that smoke. And I say to them, you're smoking, that's sin, right? And that's a waste of money, it's a bad witness. Yeah, they say, I can quit anytime. Doesn't control me. And I always ask them, give me your cigarettes, let me throw them. How many packs you got? Let me throw them all away right now. Give me your lighter, give me all that. They won't do it because they have lip service. So use this as a test, a litmus test, and it'll help you to help people. If they don't want to follow the doctrines and test themselves and come out of churchianity, they need the gospel. If they are coming out or already come out and they want more truth, oh, then they just need to be discipled as a follower of Christ. Remember, one of the fruits of the Spirit, yeah, Galatians 5, love, peace, joy, long-suffering, that's patience, I get it. Ephesians 5, 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Yeah, that's the fruit right there. And truth is something we must walk in. So test this, challenge this, if what I'm saying is true. Sinking in the Sunday false faith, people are holding on to their false life preservers that will not save them. They're going to go down like a millstone versus people that have their arms full of the doctrines of Christ that are going to float them and keep them above the waves and the turbulence. And they're going to endure to the end in a saving salvation. I hope that's blessed you. Test it all to the Word of God. I'm here to help you. Go to don'tperish.com. Check out all our resources, adding to it every day. We're on the gospel road, preaching, witnessing, lifting up Christ crucified. What else is there worth and worthy of doing? We love you all. Till next time, have a glorious day. May God be praised.